Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Dr. Cheryl Thaxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Faith Real Life, the process of there, where we walk by faith and not by sight to the call and destiny of God in our lives. In this 15-minute empowerment, you're going to be encouraging your walk of faith, encouraging your process, encouraging the things that you go through, knowing that you're not alone and what you go through, that as God is shaping you and making you and transforming your life, He's done this with other people in the Bible and other people in ministry. And that sometimes you might feel as if you're in a place by yourself, but God has allowed other people to go through it. So we encourage you in the Lord to know that the process of what you're going through is an ongoing process. It will always be something that we endure. We see God's manifestation. We see the growth of God, because as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we're changed line upon line, precept upon precept, glory to glory, height to height, and depth to depth. This process will continue until the day that He returns, until the day that we're with Him. So we're going to always be on the potter's wheel. We're going to always be stretched. We're going to always be pushed to mature in a greater status, in a greater way, to grow in God, to grow more in our character of Him, in our mindsets. We're going to be able to see the manifestation of God's will, divine will in our lives as we trust and obey Him in every area of our life. So we become light and life to someone else as we allow God's will to be done. We've been looking at unlikely places of blessings, looking and studying people in the Bible that have basically been in predicaments that look as if God had forsaken them, as if God was not going to come through, that they could not see God's hand or blessing in their lives. But it's in these predicaments, it's in these places that God blesses them, shows up and makes a way out of no way, causes them to triumph, causes them to win and be a blessing not only to them, but also to their house and the nation. And so God will use unlikely places and give us these examples to show us that it doesn't matter where we are in life, it doesn't matter what's going on. He can show up in impossible situations and put it and turn it in our favor in an instant and cause us to triumph in a way or in an instant that we thought we never would. We are studying unlikely places of blessing as far as leadership, dealing with David and his life and how God called him to be his man, his king, and how he's been prepared and is being prepared to be the king over God's people, and how God will use you in ways that you are stretched and that He develops you, and that you do not allow your former self or the way that seemeth right to you to triumph, but you allow the word and the will of God to triumph in your life. So we're going back and we're going to look again at David and study him a little bit more and see how God was preparing him and is preparing him. When we left off, there was Saul had basically had 85 priests in their robe killed. Now, the men in Saul's army would not touch them, but there was one Edomite whose name was Doeg, and he, because he wanted to be in the graces, the good graces of Saul, because he wanted fame, because he wanted prestige and he wanted that power, he killed these men. And not only did he kill them, he went back to their homeland and he killed the women and the children, the babes, the old men that were there, the young men that were there, anyone that was left, he killed them. But he also killed all of the sheep, all the animals that they had as well, and destroyed, utterly destroyed their home. One individual got away, which was the son of Abner, who had was the priest that basically helped David. And he, before this priest was killed, he sang the praises of David, and Saul couldn't even stand to hear David's name, couldn't stand to say it. He would call him the son of Jesse. So anybody that praised David, anybody that thought of him loyally or spoke kindly of him, Saul went after them. So we see that they're killed. David understood that it was because of his deceptive practices that these men were killed. But it also was fulfillment of the prophecy that the Lord spoke to Eli, because Abner was one of the priests in the line of Eli, and God gave a word concerning his lineage and said that they were not going to be able to live to be old men. And so this was one of the fulfillments of God's word concerning that. And you can find that in 1 Samuel the second chapter, verses 37 through 36, where God is speaking to Eli, because Eli would not discipline his children, his sons, who were basically manipulating and the people and taking bribes and sleeping with the women and doing all kind of evil. And he knew about it, but yet he did nothing about it. And because of that, God speaks and he commands something that's going to be manifest in that line because of that sin. So his son basically gave to David, tell him what happened. And David tells him, I'm going to stay. You're going to stay here with me. I'm going to protect you. As we go further, we see that the Philistines have basically gone and they are robbing the threshing floor of Keilah. And they are basically stealing what the people have set up for themselves. They basically go in and wait for them to harvest their wheat, harvest their grain, and they go in and they take it from the people. So David hears about this. And he hears about this, and he knows that they're doing this. And instead of them turning to Saul, instead of these people turning to Saul, they are in Saul's kingdom, because they're tired of Saul's rule. They're tired of being under Saul's command. They go and appeal to David for deliverance. They go and appeal to David for help instead of King Saul. And so David basically goes and he begins to ask the Lord, should he go down? And should he go down and fight? Should he go down and help these people, deliver these people? Because the threshing floors were hard, flat surfaces where the grain was basically trampled and separated from the wheat. And we understand that this is the type of something that happens in the spirit realm for us. God allows us to go to a threshing floor in the spirit realm where we are separated from things that keep us from moving in the direction of God, moving in his perfect plan, moving in obedience. God will put us on a threshing floor spiritually, so to speak, where he will allow the pressures of life or situations of life to cause us to be driven to him and separate us from the things that will try to keep us or prevent us from moving totally in obedience to the will of God in our lives. So this threshing floor is significant to what happens in our lives when God is dealing with us to move forward, to stretch us, to go and be all that he says, to be that lifeline, to be that bread, to be that substance for someone else to be able to live thereby, be encouraged by, to have that overcoming testimony. So the Lord will allow that threshing part to happen in our lives. He'll allow that Olive Garden experience, so to speak, where we understand the process of the olives, where they're beaten and how they're separated and what they go through. Well, God will allow us to go through some things in our lives and seasons in our lives where we are separated, where we go through things that we become more and more like him. And we don't understand it, but in the end, we look more like Christ. We take on more of his character. We act more like him. We learn and grow and mature. And we stretch ourselves in the spirit realm. And when this happens, God is satisfied because we are looking more at what he commanded us to. So there's a separation of some things that stop us from becoming more in our own selves and more selfish and more independent of God. We become dependent on God, and that's what God wants. The world says to be independent, but in the spirit realm with God, we are to be dependent on him. We are not supposed to be self-sufficient. We are supposed to depend on him and look to him, rely to him, the author and the finisher of our faith. So we get here and we see that the threshing floors, they're stopped fully, and the Philistines, they go in and they raid the floors and they take the Israelites' harvest. And, you know, if you worked all year or all season for a harvest that's going to sustain you, to have that stolen from you, that is a lot, because you have to either have something else to provide adequately for you and your family, or you're going to starve to death. And so the thief comes in to steal, kill, and destroy. And we understand that every time the Lord has allowed us to gain in our lives things, they look for the enemy to try to come in and steal. But we have power over the enemy to bind up everything that he tries to do. We have power in our tongue to decree and declare what it shall be and what the enemy will not do. So this is typical to how the enemy will come in when we receive a harvest or when God makes a way, or when there's a breakthrough in our lives, or God is doing some wonderful things, the enemy comes in to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes in to try to take that, which, that blessing, and turn it around and to make it something else. But thank be unto God who causes us to triumph, that he's given us the word and the blood of Jesus and the authority and the power to speak and decree, to bind and to loose. Those things in the spirit realm that the enemy would attempt to do. And we understand that God gives us the wisdom on how to war. In this instance, they go and inquire of David. This is still a test for David, because even though David is not the king, the people are still looking at him as king. They're looking to his leadership, and they don't go to Saul. They go to David for deliverance. And David inquires of the Lord, should he go and attack? And to attack the Philistines. And David wanted to know what the will of God was, because when you're moving as a leader or even as an individual, you need to know what God's will is. What is he saying? Are we in his timing? Are we moving according to his will? Are we moving according to ours? So we have to make sure that we're in the timing of God, that we inquire of the Lord, that in all of our ways we acknowledge him. In doing so, that's saying that we trust God and we believe God and we're willing to depend on him to lead us and guide us in what he desires and his plan and his way. David recognizes that the need, but that this does not necessarily mean the, or constitute the call to particularly do or act in a ministry or act in a certain way. We can recognize the need of something, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we're supposed to act to that. That's why we need to inquire of God, because sometimes we're spinning our wheels in areas that we should not be, that we can see a need, but that's not where God wants us to minister or to act or to respond. Sometimes it's timing. And so the Lord tells David to go. And this is part of his stretching and part of him trusting God and part of his leadership being developed and part of the people being dependent on him and seeing him as a strong leader. All of this is working together for the good. All of this, in spite of what David is enduring and facing and the challenges of running from Saul and into kingdoms and all of these different things, this is part of him showing the people that he's a fierce leader. He's a leader that does not back down, that he's a leader that understands trouble but knows how to deal with trouble and how to respond. So all of this is part of his process. As you go and grow in God, you will face challenges, and people will look at you to see what type of leader you are, how you handle these situations. Do you fall apart? Do you run away from it? Do you do nothing? Or do you inquire of God and get his wisdom, his insight, his instructions, that you might understand how to handle and come out triumphantly, that people will trust your leadership? Because leadership is just not outside of the home. Your leadership is inside of your house. And your children, your wife, your family members are going to look at your leadership abilities to see how you handle situations, how you handle your house, your finances, your children, situations on your job, what kind of integrity you have. They're going to look at you and see what type of man or woman you are. And from that, they're going to take their response of how they're going to follow you or trust you or depend on you. And if they don't, if it's hard for them to trust or depend on you, then you start looking at your leadership abilities, your integrity, how you're handling things, your track record, and then start asking God to improve you and to refine you and get you in a place that when they see your leadership, it's leadership that looks godly, and it's leadership that looks like Christ. It's leadership that is always going to be for the better, and it's going to bring the victory of the Lord to them and to you. So they see this, and basically what happens is these men are taking a risk. But they're associating with David in a foreign land, and they're going into territory that belongs to Israel, and that Saul is king over. He has these 600 men, they're going to follow David, and they're going to go in, and they're going to attack the Philistines. So they're taking a risk, but they're taking the risk knowing that the man that they're following is worthy of this risk, that God is with him, that God is going to bring him out triumphantly. And so they understand that by following David and by being who they are with David, God is going to protect them. That's all the time we have for today. Tomorrow we're going to go into more detail about David's attack with the Philistines at the threshing floor, and we're going to hear more about what God says. And I'm praying and believing that you will see yourself and see God moving and shaping you. And even as you go through situations in your life, you'll see God shaping you, see God promoting you, moving you, growing you, but you'll also see the strength and the wisdom of God. I'm Pastor Cheryl Baxter. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life. Have a blessed and wonderful day.